Okay, so just a few housekeeping things before we get started. Just to introduce myself, my name's Norm Farrar. I have a podcast called Lunch with Norm, the Amazon FBA and e-commerce podcast, which runs every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we just cover a lot of different topics to make e-commerce sellers better sellers. Today, we've got one of my podcast guests and a business partner, Shane Oglo. But before we get into the topic today, I just wanted to mention a few things that the room is being recorded. So if you have a question, and we want questions, we want engagement, please just raise your hand and we'll bring you up on stage. If you don't want to be recorded, don't raise your hand. And we're trying to provide strictly just content, 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 and more content. So we really don't want to see any pitches up here if you do come up and are asking any questions. If you do, I know Rochelle's pretty quick on the mute button. Okay. And so today we are going to be hearing from Shane Oglo. As I mentioned, he's my partner over at PR Reach. I just want to be completely transparent on that. And he's going to be talking about content marketing strategies. Now, content marketing is an incredible way to market your business, to become more of an authority. And we have to remember that authority equals trust, and trust equals sales. So we'll be talking about what is content marketing, the types of content marketing, who should use it, how to properly use it, and what to expect. What type of ROI should you expect? Long-term, term, short-term. And one other thing, if you like what you hear today, make sure you go to the top left, click Startup Club, the little green house, and you'll get different notifications from Startup Club. And if you like what you hear from the speakers today, you can click on the speaker and follow them and ring that bell so you get notifications. All right, with that being said, whew, all right, done. Now we can get into the content. Shane, how are you, sir?
I am pretty good. Thank you very much. Just evening for me here. So, yeah, end of a long day, but it's all good. Yeah, I'm great.
Very good. So Shane lives in Andorra. And if you don't know where that is, look it up. I never heard it. Somewhere in Europe, somewhere on some mountaintop. Anyway, Shane, just explain who you are, what you do.
Sure. So as Norm said, I mean, we're partners over at PR Reach, but we've both been in e-com for a long time. I guess I started my first private label brands, I don't know, 2012 or 2013, something like that. Norm's obviously been at it longer than I am because he's just so much older. But I trained a lot of people. I've done a lot of courses and mentoring and all kinds of stuff, mostly around the Amazon space. And then I joined Norm over at PR Reach, where we do a lot of content, oddly enough, press releases and written content and media and public relations and all that good stuff. So I think that everything we do, and I guess I'll just say this, we don't really just focus necessarily on Amazon sellers the way we used to, because e-com is so broad, and we probably all know the ups and downs with Amazon. It's a great place. It's a wonderful opportunity. But it's not the only opportunity, and we're big proponents of diversifying and not relying on one platform to drive all of our income. And content is a great way to spread your message and gain awareness across all different types of demographics and markets. So that's briefly about me.
Yeah, you know, when people talk about content marketing, be very diverse. And so first of all, let's get into that. What is content marketing?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty, here's a problem too, as we start talking about content marketing, there's like 100 different rabbit holes we can go down. So I tend, when a broad topic like this, I tend to drift off and go different directions. But content marketing is really just putting out that content, whether it's videos or blogs or press releases, social postings, media, it can be really all-encompassing. And I think that the one mistake people do, and I think I made this mistake too way back in the days, is you think you have to do it all. You don't have to do it all. As long as you're putting out decent quality content. Now, the days of keyword stuffing and just, you know, fluff are long, long gone. You're putting out decent stuff that people actually want to read or listen to, whatever. I think that's very, very important. And as you said at the beginning, whether you're using content, whether it's a third party talking about you, that's a type of content, you're getting trust. You're being authority, and your perceived value of you and your services or your products goes up. And that means higher conversion rates. It means you can charge higher prices. You're a bit more recession proof. You can build your list faster. I mean, there's a whole list of things that will cascade once you start building content. And, you know, I think we both know tons of businesses that literally built their business on content marketing alone. They weren't running PPC. They weren't doing other things. They just focused on content marketing, and that's it. So it's a very powerful tool, and I think it's a really necessary thing. The one thing I just want to say is you don't have to do it all at once. Just focus on maybe what you're good at, what's closest to you, build that out, and then slowly start to expand.
So, you know, when I think of content, you said it was very broad, and 100% agree with that. But let's go through some of the different types. So when I think of content marketing, I think of maybe an article on my website. So let's talk about that. The article, what types of articles. Can we get into that and show how you can become an authority just by putting content on your website?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can publish a blog, and this is a great starting point, because here we can start to branch out and do different things, all from a simple piece of content. You can eventually do things like have guest bloggers every now and then come in and get some nice links from other people and get introduced to a new audience. But let's say you have a blog. Wonderful. Great. What you can then do is you can do things like syndicate that blog. Because here's the problem. Let's say you've got your brand new Shopify website, your brand new business, and you're just so eager to get started, and you're putting out a blog once a month. Okay? That's not very much. You're doing that. The problem is it's going to take you some time. I mean, this isn't magic, right? Is it going to show up on Google right away? Probably not. You know, month after month after month, you keep at it, it will start to have an effect, but it's a slow process. But we've got all kinds of ways of accelerating that. And that's the good news, and that's sort of what we do. And there's a lot of things you can do. So first of all, you can syndicate that content. And what that means is you can come to a company. We do, and there's other people that do it as well. And they take your piece of content and they push it out to different media sites. So boom, overnight, now you're on 200 different media sites, for example, and getting backlinks from those sites to your website, which helps for SEO and SERP results. Great. You're getting that content in front of, you know, potentially millions of people. You're getting some Google love. Wonderful. That's a great first start. And it's not expensive to do. It's not expensive at all. That's a nice thing about it. I think a lot of people don't know about it, but it's a wonderful thing. So there you go. There's one little thing you can do. The next thing you can do is you can use press releases. So if you put out a press release, which is basically an article written in a very strict press format that gets pushed out to a distribution network, very similar to how syndication works, but these aren't only news networks. And goes out on the internet, you get some Google love for it, but the links from that press release are pointing back to your blog, helping push that up. And what that does is that pushes your blog or anywhere you send. You can send those links to an Instagram post. You can send those links anywhere. And we almost always diversify them because we don't really have a pattern for Google. But if you send that links back to your blog, wonderful, that'll help push your blog up. And your blog over time will start to become a traffic driver. Now, the other wonderful thing you can do with that blog, let's say you're just doing those two things. So there's more we can do. That's great. The other thing you can do is update your blog every now and then, maybe every month or every 3 months or every 6 months, add in, you know, 200-400 words to that, update it, you know, new for 2022 or, you know, whatever you happen to be doing, keep it relevant. Google will come back and crawl it and keep it relevant, right? Wonderful. So you can do those two things. And the same with video too. Let's say then you put out a YouTube video. Great. Have that YouTube video link back to your blog. Put a link into your blog, add it into your YouTube video, do press releases on that, send the links over to YouTube, and you slowly will start to create like a spider web. I mean, this isn't anything new or overly revolutionary, but people just don't do it. Even though people know about it, they don't do it. Again, you go back to that situation where you've got your brand new Shopify account, your brand new blog, and you're just super happy. If you're putting out one blog a month, it's going to take you a long time. These are ways you can really hyper-accelerate that process, get that content ranking and in front of people's eyeballs, which is what you need to start getting a little bit more traffic and start testing out your conversion rates and start to see some results from that content. And it's just like when you're starting social media, for example. Everybody's gung-ho, but they see, oh man, it takes so long to get engagement or build an audience. And people get frustrated and they give up. Same thing with blogs. I mean, one blog a month isn't very much. Ideally, you'd be doing more, but it's a great place to start. You know, and like I said, don't always think that you have to do everything at once. You don't. You're better off just to do one thing, do it well, and then start to add to it or start to create that spider web, as I mentioned.
You know, if you want to see some success, like just take a look, just research Dr. Axe. Dr. Axe had a website. Started out strictly content, only content, and it ended up selling, I don't know, I think it was between $1 and $4 billion. And now it's just a powerhouse. It's selling all sorts of different things, but it was all built on content. And in the very short term, and I've seen this where you create content about five interesting facts about, and then you write a newsworthy press release with a different type of title. Now, the reason why this is so important is the newsworthy press release that's going out, you're spinning in your own words what you want people to hear, right? It's whatever you want people to hear about benefits, features, a product launch, maybe some research that you found out, an event that you had. And then that links over to your blog article, which is going to be something that people are going to read a lot more. But keeping in mind that if you embed a photograph or if you embed a video, people are going to also be on that page wanting to, you know, listen to the video. And that video, so I don't want to cause any confusion here, but when you create that very simple video on YouTube, it could be a talking head. You can easily get somebody to do it. You can do it yourself. And you can take that transcript and put it onto YouTube. And now you're getting search results from that as well. So you're getting search optimization from YouTube, which is embedded in your blog article. And you've probably seen that. And also there's the I call it the answer box, but people also, what does it say? People also refer, you'll see the four or five questions that that Google has. If you create a list of questions, you can also get some ranking juice there. And I want to give, just to give you an idea on either the blog article or the press release, how much power it does have. Forget about YouTube, just those two right now. If you syndicate or if it's set up properly, we've had instances where we've seen an article go out or a press release go out. Within one day, you have, depending on the combination of keywords, 400 plus keywords that are optimized overnight. 170, this is one we just did, 179 were on page one of Google, and 131 were number one. Now, some of them were horrible, horrible, horrible long-term keywords, but others were incredible, like Amazon Bully Stick launch. That's pretty tough to launch, to rank for. And it also stayed around for a while, so which is great. Like sometimes they last for years. Another thing I want to talk about when it comes to content is that when somebody searches your product, let's say that you are a Shopify or a Walmart or an Amazon seller, people don't trust a micro brand unless they bought your product before. So what's the first thing they're going to do? What do you do? I know that I'll go and I'll see, you know, this plastic shoe stretcher and, oh, okay, I check it out. I'll put the company name into Google. If something comes up and I start seeing brand consistency, let's say, with social media or their website, or if I start to see their content there and I start to click on it and it's quality content or a press release, that gives me that authority. And I'll always go back to this authority equals trust equals sales. And it's so true when it comes to this. Like, that's why I think content marketing is really the way to do it. And one other thing, I don't know if we want to get too much into this. It's down a different rabbit hole. But if you get a grip on this, oh my gosh, you will rank and rank and re-rank so quickly. And that's Google My Business. Google My Business is probably the least utilized tool in most people's wheelhouse. It's there. It's free. If you set it up properly, and by that, I just mean the proper anchor link. What do I mean by that? I just mean the website, either the website or the page, wherever you want to promote it. If that's in your blog articles, if that's in your social media, if that's in your photos, well, guess what? It ranks instantly on Google. And if you have Google My Business and you're looking on a mobile phone, it's the first three swipes and it can never be second place. So if you're ranking for that keyword, and you rank number one, it's the first three swipes. Now, what would you pay for that type of exposure? And also, for any of us that are online sellers, if you open up and add product images and also add the categories, it's like Google Shopping. It does it automatically. It automatically ranks those pictures in Google Images. It's so cool. And that's just a whole other form of content. So other types of content, Shane, I know I kind of took it over, but I'm really passionate about building up businesses just through content. One other way is by using user-generated content. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's, and it's not something that I've done as much as because I've been focused on other as, but user generated content is a bit of a gold mine, because you're often getting it for free, not always, but again, it's that authority. It's like, oh, so and so is doing it, or look at all these people who are like, well, you know, they must be good, right? It's that third party endorsement. And you can get all, there's some amazing, amazing people out there. Now, most people think about, oh, they're going to go on to some type of influencer, micro-influencer site, and you pay someone to take some photos of your, you know, standing with your product or whatever. Yes, yes, you can do that. And that's technically, I guess it's user-generated. I mean, you're paying them, so maybe it's not, wouldn't technically be considered. But if you are building communities and you're engaging with people, and you're incentivizing them. So you can do that with, on social posts. You can do that with your product inserts. There's all kinds of ways to get people involved and sharing. And you can reward them. You know, you can give them prizes or discounts or a free thing. Or there's so many ways to gamify it and have fun with these. And, you know, I've seen people get hundreds and hundreds of photos and videos and different things, and that just gives you so much fodder for your social feeds, things to write about. Heck, some of those can even be press release topics. It's really a gold mine. And I know that a lot of people, especially if they're in the private label business, if they're selling physical products in the private label space, sometimes when you're getting started, getting good images can be a challenge. Finding a good photographer can be a challenge, especially when we started years ago. Now there's so many people doing it. It shouldn't be that much hard, but it's still going to cost you. And, you know, the beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I remember I'd pay some crazy money to some photographers. And what I got back, I just didn't like. It just didn't resonate. But I had no ability. I didn't have that artistic ability to explain exactly what I wanted or how I wanted it to make me feel. When you're able to get a lot of people following it and get this user-generated content, it's kind of like a shotgun blast. You can get a little bit of everything. Some people will have hokey iPhone photos that look kind of not so good, but they actually kind of convert because they're so real and raw. And you'll get some really nice polished images too. People, you know, can actually spend a lot of time and effort doing these when you're rewarding them with just, you know, kindness or a free thing or a discount or whatever. I mean, it might depend on if you're selling a vibrating massage gun for $250, it's hard to give a lot of those away, but you can certainly give discounts. So Was there another aspect of user-generated content you wanted to go after, Norm?
Well, I think that I wanted to talk about just the ability, the value, and I want to give an example of this. So there's a few people on here. I can see that listeners right now know one of our friends, Paul Barron, who he had swim diapers. Okay, it's not a sexy thing. You know, it's swim diapers. And he went out and he started to build, he went back to repeat clients or customers, and he just wanted to know if, you know, they wanted to take part in not so much a product test, but become more of an influencer. And then as they liked the product and as they bought the product more and more, he built them up to what he calls a brand ambassador. But all that meant was that they were willing to give more and more user-generated content. So here's what he got. Over a two-month period, he ended up getting, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Shane, but 3,000 photographs. And these are lifestyle photographs of people, moms and dads with their babies. And, you know, how far does that go? People trust those. People don't trust stock photos with, you know, the baby with a diaper that's 10 times bigger than the image. I mean, they know it's fake, but lifestyle. And what you can do with these influencers is you can ask them to do specific things. If there's a benefit, like maybe putting the baby, you know, up to his waist in water to show it's waterproof or stuff like that, you can direct them to do what you want. And then I know he did this too over a weekend. He had to do something. It was a video, and he wanted to showcase certain features. He got 30 videos over the weekend from influencers that that showed the product. And don't ask me what the benefit was or the features were. And over the period of time, he also has a ton of guest bloggers. So he showed me. He went to Google, and he was just showing me what he was doing. And I saw best swim diapers came up about three or four times. And I said, oh, yeah, that's okay. That's good. I can see it on Amazon. I can see it, you know, in your store and on your website. He goes, no, I'm pretty much take up the whole page. And I said, where? And he goes, these are all influencers that are writing about my product. So just click on any of the articles. So it's not information that has to be directly on your page, but it's these articles that are linking back to your page that these influencers are working on. And you can find these influencers anywhere, and they'll do it for free, just give them the product, or there'll be a charge. And that depends if you're going to a nano influencer, which is a very small following, but people trust more, micro influencers that have up to 100,000 people, right up to the celebrities. But you have to remember, the more you pay might work, you know, but I wouldn't recommend that for any brands that are just starting. And there are some specific guidelines, and you have to be ready to eat a ton of money to get some results. And I do know, and I think Joe Martin is part of Startup. I've talked to him before. He used the Kardashians to promote his product and other influencers. He just sold his company for $500 million. Influencers. That's all he did. User-generated content. So that's how important this stuff is. I don't know if you have anything more to say about that, Shane.
Yeah, those are great points. And like those listicles that come up, like the, you know, here's my five favorite whatever, those do show up. And when we say influencers, sometimes I don't even really consider them influencers. They have pretty small followings. But most people I know would rather have 100 micro-influencers versus one big one that you pay for. And I've seen a lot of the big ones flop too, because the audience isn't always as dialed in. As Norm said, those micro guys are trusted a lot more now. Yes, so if you're following up a big famous star, yes, people will trust them because people are a little bit nuts, and they'll do whatever they're told. But some of those audiences, if they're in the millions, I mean, your target demographic might only be a very, very small sliver. And the other thing, of course, let's just put that aside and just say, okay, we're dealing with some small people. You're getting people to do contests, and you're getting some user-generated content in from your social or your inserts or reaching out to past customers, whatever the case may be. That's great. This is great, great material for you to talk about. If you're doing Amazon posts, it'll feed your Amazon post program. It's always going to keep your social media full of interesting, different things. So it just takes the pressure off, and it's great content. And by pressure, I mean, okay, you know, what are you going to do for social this week or next month? Sitting there racking your brain, because the old, and this is my opinion, and I think it's some things I've read recently too, the old techniques where we used to say, okay, what's some interesting, I won't say necessarily viral content, but popular content, repurpose it or posting on your channel, isn't as powerful as it used to be. You tend to need a little bit more unique stuff. And a lot of people get scared of that. They go, oh my gosh, like, I'm not a writer. I'm not a creator. Like, how can I fill my social feed full of unique stuff every month? Oh my God, you know, what am I going to do? Well, this is a great way to do it, because you're going to get all this stuff done for you. And some of these images that come back are great. You might even want to put them on your Amazon, your Shopify listing or whatever, because they're really, really fantastic.
Well, I know we've done a course a year or two ago about repurposing content. And I think that's the next thing we should touch on, because it's so simple to do. So what is repurposing content?
Well, it's repurposing your content. Well, I mean, you just want to find, here's the thing, you know, if you do anything, if you pay for something, if you put the time in to do something, I'm a big fan of squeezing every drop of juice out of that content that I can. Let's say you have a video made. Great, wonderful. You can break that up into smaller videos. You can pull a transcript out and post that. You can do these types of things where you're repurposing or resharing that content, and then you break it up into smaller chunks, for instance, on social. And then, you know, once a month, you're going back to that well of things you had, and you're slightly altering it or changing it and reposting it. You know, and a nice and a little bit more eloquent example is it, maybe it's more about sharing, but with our PR company, we do media for people. So, you know, we're getting their products into gift guides or magazines or whatever. Let's say you get a really nice placement by a well-known blogger, you're in a magazine. So many people just stop right there. And they're like, oh, well, that's great. That's wonderful. Oh my gosh. Let's share that. Let's make sure it's on your social. Let's write a blog about it. Let's do some press releases about it. Let's post it on YouTube. Use it in your advertising. You can put it in your email signature. And that's how I view repurposing your content. I just try to think, okay, how else can I chop this up or share it or slightly tweak it and reshare it in a different way? So you get that one piece of content, you get a great article written, you get a video or whatever. Okay, how can we stretch this out over 6 months? And it's just the bottom dollar. It's going to save you a lot of money. And if it's engaging, especially if the first article kicks butt and you get a lot of engagement, wonderful. Now you know your audience is quite interested in this topic, and you should be going after topics that you assume are going to be relevant, or you've researched it and will be relevant, and just keep chopping that up and sharing it.
And one of the things too, you just mentioned that if there's a topic and it gets lots of engagement, well, you want to rinse and repeat that. And one of the ways that you can do it is two ways that you can do this. Very, very simple. You can go to a site called Ask the Public. I hope I'm saying that right. I keep wanting to say Asking the Public, no, but Ask the Public, isn't it?
It's answerthepublic.com.
Oh, that's, I knew I'd get it wrong. Answer the Public. And you can just type in that keyword or type in that question, and it'll come back with, you know, this grouping of similar questions that you can, or similar topics. The other one, and if you're listening and you want to write this down, this is incredible. I've got nothing, absolutely zero to do with this company. I use it all the time. We use it in our company, actually, called Phrase, F-R-A-S-E, F-R-A-S-E.io. And that company will, if you type in a keyword, it will break down not only the questions or the topics, but it'll show you the top 10 that are ranking and what you have to do, what keywords or how to format it to make it rank better than those articles. It's incredible and it's very, very inexpensive. So you could check that out. So if there's something that people like, why not give them more of it? And that's the same thing with images. If you're looking at your Facebook account and you're repurposing that content or that post, well, do more of it. Why not do more of it? You know, and you'll probably see that certain things, depending on your niche, it might be a motivational quote, it might be lifestyle images, whatever it is, rinse and repeat. One other thing on this, you just highlighted very briefly, you touched on this, was earned media. And that was, you know, like people hear about this with public relations, but it is getting into those magazines. If you don't have a PR firm to do this for you, you can always try to reach out and try to get in. Now, you can do it through LinkedIn, but reach out to these companies and see if they're interested in, you know, whatever you've got to sell. It might be an event. It might be something that some research that you have, and it's worthy of getting into that magazine, niche magazines, associations. You know, it could be anything. Anything on that?
Yeah, I mean, I know plenty of people who've gotten some good coverage by doing it manually. It is a longer process. You don't get a lot of feedback, which can be frustrating for people. You know, you might send out 100 emails and get one or two back, but just expect that that's going to happen. And you have to understand their perspective too. They're not being snobs. They get overwhelmed. They probably get just tons and tons of emails in their inbox. What are they going to open up? So if you do send stuff to a media or someone trying to get some attention, and you want them to talk about your product, you want to highlight why your product is so great or whatever the case may be very brief. Have a snappy title, and I'm this. I have three kids, and I do. They don't want to read that. They don't have time. Well, maybe they do, but they just don't have time. Just be short and snappy. Get to the point. If they want to get back to you, they will. Just be prepared that it is a longer, slower process. But yeah, you can get some good coverage with that. Sorry, I got kids coming, and I have to mute just for a second.
No problems. I couldn't find the mute button anyways. Okay, so the other thing I want to talk about is managing expectations. When people are talking about content, you know, it's your blog articles or your press releases. It could be earned media. What are those expectations? What can they expect short-term and long-term?
Sorry, I literally just got the kid out of the room. So you're asking about expectations for media? Is that what you're asking?
Different types of media. So you've got your blog articles. You've got, it could even be social media, like putting up your lifestyle, press releases, earned media. So yeah. Different types of media. What can you expect? I know there's different results.
Yeah, there sure is. And this is a pretty common question that we get, because everybody wants to know, hey, what's the ROI? What can I expect? And that's natural. I want to know that too whenever I do anything. Sometimes the ROI on a lot of these things can be hard to measure. It's just like, you know, you take out a billboard on the I-9. You know, what's the ROI from that? I don't know. I'm not sure you can ever know it. Unless you got some, you know, code on there or something, it's going to be tough, but it's about building recognition. So we, you know, back in the day, back in the old days, you know, of Amazon and e-com, we focused mostly on tactics. There was tons of loopholes in the platform. There's all kinds of hacks. We knew those would disappear as the industry matured and evolved. That's normal. We really made a switch a number of years ago to say, no, we're just going to focus on long-term. I'm not interested in getting two more sales tomorrow. Let's work on this long-term brand vision so we can sell the business for more. It's going to have more recognition, higher perceived value, all those great things. So just, I'm going to put that in the, frame that context here. When you're doing any type of a content, you have to have a long-term vision. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to put out a blog once a month and my business is going to increase by 25%. I really very much doubt it. It's a slower process because you have to get in front of those people. They have to read. They might see your message 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 times and then buy. That's how advertising works, right? So you have to have that long-term vision, and it's a slow cumulative process. That's why I love doing it as inexpensively as possible, but as efficiently as possible, because I know that it's a marathon, not a sprint. And so many people get frustrated after 3-4 months thinking, oh man, I've just done 4 blogs and not a damn thing's happened. This is stupid. It doesn't work. Well, of course not. That's like running one Facebook ads campaign, not getting any sales and say, well, Facebook ads don't work. It's preposterous, right? You just didn't have your audience dialed in. You didn't have your message, your conversion rate sucks, or whatever. It's not that the platform's fault. It's your fault. And you just need to figure out how to do it. Now, some things will have a much faster impact. You know, we get you an article in Wirecutter magazine or something, for example. You know, that goes out, boom, you know, you can get 1,000 sales the next day. Sure, sure. But those are what we look for is we have a long-term strategy. We're doing all these things. We're hoping for these nice snaps, you know, that hit from time to time, maybe once every 2 weeks, once every 3 months, who knows, depends on what you're doing, that help propel it on a nice upward trend. So we tend to blend things in, but everything we do, even that high authority magazine we get you published in, yes, it might generate a ton of sales over a short period of time, but guess what? It's still a long-term tool. It's going to be searchable on Google, even if they pull it down, even if it's not longer relevant. Well, guess what? You've got an as seen on Wirecutter on your website. You can use that authority for the next 2 years. So it's important to always keep that long-term perspective in mind, but we can get some great short-term results, but it's always with that long-term perspective.
Okay, Shane. I mean, I think these are some great points. Different types of content marketing are going to get you different results. Make sure it's always quality. Neil Patel talks about building a blog. If you can't create a better blog, the best blog, don't even produce it. It's just not worth it. The different types of content, from influencers, blog articles, different types of influencers, gift guides, earned media. These are all things that you can do to help build your content. So it's so important. There's so many things that you can do, and off of one piece of content, we tracked this and we showed that we had repurposed it off of one piece of content almost 100 different times, just breaking it up, taking a piece, like out of my podcast, we might take 10 sections out of it from 1 hour and cut it down to just that 1 or 2 minutes and repurpose it on all the different social media platforms. Don't give up on content marketing. Use it as a tool. And Shane, do you have any last words?
Yeah, I think I want to go back to what I said at the beginning. So many people, especially starting out the journey, think they need to do everything. They see shiny objects. Don't. You're better off to do one thing really well and then expand versus trying to do a little bit of everything and not have it very effective. And going back to what you said about Neil Patel, that's exactly right. If you can't do it top notch, you know, you're really going to be fighting a long uphill battle. And it's frustrating. We've all been there. We've all done things that didn't work. But just, you know, do one thing really, really well.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming on today, Shane. I know you were traveling all over last week, so I really appreciate you taking some time and coming on. Look, I want to just say, if you did like the information that you heard today from Shane or myself, please click on our name, follow, and maybe ring that bell, give you some notifications. Startup Club has some really incredible rooms. If you want to hear more about them, go up to the top left and click that little green house and you'll get notifications. And I think that's it. Until next week, next Thursday at 1 o'clock, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody back. And thank you for being part of the community.